Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are, as always, Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Much to discuss this week. Jason, we'll start with you. Teflon Andrew, Kevlar Cuomo, whatever you want to call him, seems to be untouchable these days. 2 months ago, New York's governor was the political equivalent of roadkill, but now there's a sudden resurgent Andrew Cuomo, and some are saying, Jason, he could win a fourth term. Why is this happening?
Yeah, this cat named Cuomo has 9 political lives, and in some ways it's not surprising. I think he took from the playbook of what happened with Virginia Governor Northam, and he knew that the media cycles will come and go. They will ebb and flow. What we're waiting for now is the release of the reports predominantly from Attorney General Letitia James. That will likely breathe some new life into the life of Andrew Cuomo, but right now there's kind of a season of doldrum while we're just waiting to see what next steps may come.
Yeah, and some are saying Tish James has a political motivation of her own. We'll talk more about that a little later. But Governor of Pennsylvania, Michael, as well, Tom Wolf, big news this week. The state will be back in business on Memorial Day. Business as normal, except for those face masks. Still got to wear those. Wondering, you know, we see everything through the lens of politics here. Was this an attempt by Tom Wolf to get out in front of this May 18th primary ballot question, which could severely rein in his emergency powers?
Well, I think there's been a lot in the emergency powers and the actions of the governor over the tenure of COVID that could be viewed as political. And I think to some degree that is the case here, you know, with that the impending ballot initiative, the 2 constitutional amendments that would restrain the governor's power. I think he does want to keep his power. And so I think the lifting of this, or the announcement of the lifting of it, certainly has a political motivation to it.
Yeah, just a little bit suspicious there. Of course, we see everything through the lens of politics. And Jason, there was a comment that the governor made this week that really nobody picked up on in the media, but it just struck me as so tone deaf. He said that I could kill grandma with my kiss if I'm not vaccinated. When you consider the harassment scandal and the nursing home scandal he's facing, I just thought those words were kind of awkward. But killing grandma if I'm not vaccinated, are we reaching a point where people who, for moral, religious, or medical reasons, are going to be discriminated against or ostracized in society? This age-old debate about personal liberty versus public safety. We've had this conversation before, but that seems to be where this debate now is going. How do you reconcile that?
Yeah, it's a fine line. I mean, we're certainly seeing it in professional baseball stadiums, where now there will be 2 sections. There will be the vaccinated section and the unvaccinated section. We do not yet know how they're going to handle the hot dog stands, or will you share restrooms or water fountains in those facilities? Will you use the same entrances and exits? So there's a lot of questions as to how you're going to handle these specific situations. But there has to come a point to which we as a culture are going to have to recognize that those that want to be vaccinated have been vaccinated, and those that choose not to will not be, and move forward from that point. I think we're rapidly getting there, and that's why some of the tension is being exhibited right now.
Yeah. Along those lines, Michael, I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well. There's a right to refuse bill in Harrisburg, which would prevent employers from being able to fire people who don't get the shot. Right now in Pennsylvania, if you don't have a medical or a religious reason, they can do that. What are your thoughts on vaccine discrimination? Is there a greater public good, or does the right to choose what I put into my body supersede that greater public good?
Well, I think, you know, you've just asked one of the most contentious questions that's facing society today, which is about the vaccines and about people's views on it. A lot of people are very concerned about the vaccine because of the quickness with which it was brought to market, and the way that it was developed, and the efficacy and the safety of it is a question mark in some people's minds. And I think for those people who have have those concerns, the ability to have a choice and to keep their job, in my view, should remain in effect.
Yeah, this is the debate we could spend the entire 10 minutes on, but we'll move on. Other things to discuss. Jason, violent crime in New York is just out of control. I heard one police chief say this week near Rochester, it's like the Wild West. And it has a lot of folks wondering, has bail reform backfired in New York? Those historic criminal justice reforms that took effect last year. Is it fair to blame the bail reform law for the surge in violent crime?
Well, you know, there was an incident in New York City this week where a hate crime allegedly was committed, and the perp really walked with an appearance ticket. And that caused even Mayor Bill de Blasio to come out against the governor and attack him on this idea of bail reform. And so, you know, when you lose even Comrade de Blasio in New York City on this issue of bail reform, you've got a problem. And I do think it is a problem for our state, one that the legislature right now, because of its progressive stance, is not willing to be honest about.
Yeah, there was a House hearing this week, Michael, that really exposed some of the senior side of the research industry in this country and grotesque medical practices that have taken place at the University of Pittsburgh. This was before the House Health Committee. Explain what that testimony was, how it was received, and, you know, I'm wondering if this is happening at Pitt, where else is this happening?
Yes, so this was part of this hearing that took place was part of a series of hearings that are held by the Health Committee and its pro-life chairman, Representative Kathy Rapp. And what was exposed there was gruesome research done at the University of Pittsburgh. Some of it was taking the scalps of unborn babies that were aborted and placing them on lab rats and mice. And students at the University of Pittsburgh who released this research publicly brought Pitt into the spotlight. And David DeLeiden, who has done undercover exposés of Planned Parenthood in the sale of body parts and things, has done a video on what has happened at the University of Pittsburgh that we have put on our website, pittexposed.com, that shows what happened there. And so the legislators on the committee were asking a lot of questions from a representative from the University of Pittsburgh and of David DeLeiden, who did this expose. I don't know that they were fully satisfied at all with the answers they got from the professor and the researcher at the University of Pittsburgh, though.
Yeah. I know there was a rally this morning that a lot of folks from your organization attended at the university there to kind of raise awareness about this. I'm going to have a follow-up question for you, Michael, on fetal experimentation. But first, I want to go back to Jason. And, you know, this was unthinkable just a few years ago, Jason, but here we are. And you warned us this could happen. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office came out this week saying they are no longer going to be prosecuting prostitution in New York City. Will the state legislature act on this as an impetus to decriminalize prostitution in New York?
Well, I think we're going to be successful this legislative session in fending off the legalization of prostitution, but listeners should realize this is a train that is moving, and it is something that is coming to New York State that people have to engage in.
Yeah. The University of Pittsburgh, back to you, Michael, in closing. The man that testified said this is necessary experimentation to save thousands of lives to people who would otherwise die, that experimentation on aborted babies is necessary. He said it wouldn't work on, you know, other stem cells. Is he correct?
Well, two things. One, you know, he was talking about one particular kind of research that he was engaged in at the University of Pittsburgh just for the last several months, and did not address the issue of taking scalps and other body parts and livers and other things from intact unborn babies that were aborted for the purpose or in a method in order to get this solid tissue. He was talking about stem cell research, which was debated in this country, and many people still believe that is completely unethical and raises questions about what's happening at the University of Pittsburgh and likely at the University of Pennsylvania and Temple University Hospital and elsewhere here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, thank you for shining a light on that, Michael. If you want to watch that video, highly recommend you go to your website and find it. Michael, where can folks go?
PAFamily.org.
And stay informed on all the issues as the legislative session comes to a close in Albany. Jason, what's your site, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.